how he is viewed as he comes upon again another encounter with the people who are desperate in need, or as the book of John says, for they were like sheep who were harassed and helpless, and he had compassion upon them. I hope you noticed the contrast in our readings today. The contrast, as in our scripture readings, reveal a very different God than how the world today often views and perceives God. The world around us sees God as exclusive, as distant, as angry, as judgmental. But today's readings, God's word for you and for me, and that he offers truly for all people, God's word reveals him as one of overflowing compassion. Primarily this morning, I want to be drawing from this Old Testament reading out of the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I'm going to just highlight some of the key words that the more I read this during the week, it just kept coming to me. And it was almost like, you know, here's a marquee, and here was a word, and here was a word, and here was a word. The first word that struck me in this way that actually is repeated about four times in this text is that word, come. It's an invitation. And this, to me, the word come doesn't sound very exclusive or very distant to me. Instead, it is a word that, yes, is an invitation. It is gracious. It is generous. It is loving. It is compassionate. Here our Lord is extending to the people of Israel, and still today he is extending this same invitation to us, come. You all know what an altar call is, right? Do you realize that we have Lutheran altar calls? Not so much where I end every message saying, if there is anyone here without saving faith or someone who has wandered from the Lord and it's time to come home, to come. But this is the power of God's word. This is the desire of our Lord's heart, that those people who have wandered from his presence, those who have gone and lived outside of his will and his teaching and his commandments, he says, come. It is an invitation. It is, in a sense, an altar call. Come back to where your sins are dealt with. Come back to where forgiveness and life are found. And then in our reading, we have this word, all. This invitation, some misconstrue that, you know, again, he's exclusive. It's about the people of Israel. It's about only those who are Christian now. It's about us. But no. We have this word all. His invitation is for everyone. And that is emphasized by including those with no money, or let's broaden this, those with no means to buy or receive what they need. I love Jesus' teaching when he, you know, talks about you must become as a child. No, not that we need to return to the womb or to, you know, becoming a little, you know, toddler or a child again, but the idea is that we acknowledge our complete dependency, our complete need, and our complete reliance upon the Lord alone, and that he will meet our need. All of us have that same need and dependency. This morning we have partnered together with this Old Testament reading, our gospel reading, and as we consider the feeding of the 5,000, they had come. There was no qualification other than coming. Coming to hear Jesus speak. No money? No problem. And it wasn't just a snack that he was offering them. They had followed him, and he was feeding them for hours upon the word, so long that it got into the evening. It was time for them to eat. Jesus here was not just giving them a snack. He was giving them abundance. His provision, His compassion overflowing. As a matter of fact, notice the picture on the screen that I'm using today for this meditation, our sermon. What do you see? You see bread, you see fish, but most times when I've seen this, I've seen fish that are like torn apart and carcasses. No, it's not like you and I go to the restaurant and you get a nice fillet, but you get kind of like this dried or salted fish. And even though these loaves are a whole, and our text, now by the way, this is the only account of this that shows up in all four Gospels. And only one of them, by the way, talks about that it was a little boy who offered up what he had. Much to be learned by that, but that's another sermon. But so often we misinterpret this, and we think somehow it was the scraps that were left over. No. The Lord Himself provided in abundance. There's all this bread and all of this fish that is left, basketfuls, not just leftover crumbs. Well, one of the great teachings of the feeding of the 5,000 is that it shows us that God's kingdom, in it, there is enough of everything for everyone. Enough of everything needful for everyone. He's got enough love for you and me. He's got enough to know as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and He can do it. He has the means. He is the God over all creation, and that's part of also what this reveals. This miracle shows us also God's character and the things at work in His kingdom that have surpassing and overflowing compassion. Well, next in our reading from Isaiah verse 2, we have the word why, or more specifically, the question, why spend money? And let me broaden this a little bit, because sometimes I think we narrow in a little bit too much on the word rather than the concept. But, why spend money, energy, focus on what does not satisfy? That kind of starts changing things a little bit. Have you ever found yourself standing in front of the refrigerator? The door is open and you're just kind of like standing there staring. You're like, there's kind of this, craving inside that's, kind of vague, and you don't really know what you want or you need, but you stand there and you stare and you finally take something. You try to find something that's going to satisfy that sense of emptiness or that hunger that you seem to feel. The reality is you aren't really looking for anything specific, but you know you want to fill that longing. Well, this plays out in life over and over again. Jobs, relationships, where we live, what we drive. Those are only a couple of superficial examples, but we're unsettled. We sense so often that something is missing in our lives, and we look for so many ways to fill that void, that need. We were created for relationship with God. He placed deep within us a yearning for Him. And though we may not recognize it as such because of our sinful state, everyone knows the feeling of dissatisfaction that at times seeps into our souls. And whenever we attempt to find fulfillment with worldly substitutes, disappointment and disillusionment, they're sure to follow. Well, there are two possible menus that you and I can go to fill this empty need that we have in our souls. Now, the world's menu is long. It's full of enticing things that seem to promise fulfillment and pleasure. Now, it's not that all of those things in any way are bad, particularly when you're thinking of matters of creation and what God has actually given us for our enjoyment and for our need. But there are other things we need to consider here. These things in the world can include relationships, prominence, acceptance, riches, recognition. But God's menu is quite small. Matter of fact, it's just one word: Jesus. He is the only one who can fill the void. There is a quote that is often incorrectly attributed to Blaise Pascal. The quote is this: "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ." Now, many of you have probably heard that or read that, but that's actually not the quote. It's one of those things kind of like, you know, the message got started at the front of the line in school, and by the time it got to the back, it changed and kind of became a little bit of something on its own. But if in all actuality, I like the actual quote better. It goes like this: "What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace? This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God Himself." It was partly in reading this again that I began to understand a little bit of why we always seem to have in us this yearning and this sense of dissatisfaction with the things that we are blessed with, but that there's still something more. And that something more that is so often missing is the Lord. Is that presence every day, every moment of God with us. Well, my dear friends, what are you pursuing in life? Have you found satisfaction in that which you seek? Or is there always still this vague sense of discontent in your soul? The truth is, substance abuse centers, prisons, and sadly many of our homes are often filled with people who have tried everything to fill the void and to find satisfaction. But as the great philosopher Mick Jagger once said, I can't get no satisfaction. It's kind of nice to turn him into a philosopher, right? But that's, you know, what a songwriter is. The next very revealing word in our text from Isaiah is listen. Our Lord lovingly pleads. Basically, he is saying, what you are doing is not good. Come, enjoy, feast on what I offer. You will delight in the richest fare, our text says. Far too often we settle for second best, leftovers rather than coming and experiencing the finest that our Lord freely offers. And no matter how great we or the world makes it out to be, it's not good, or at least it's not good enough. And it won't last. And then the last section. Give ear, and here's that word again, and come, listen. Now this is where the Lord makes his intentions even clearer. That you may live. I need to be reminded far too regularly that it's not all about this world and this life. But our Lord's most focused intent is that of on providing for us eternally, that you may live. Not just subsist or live on what the world claims brings joy, but I, he says, will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised. So why do we so easily settle for what the world offers? Why do we settle for less while our Lord offers us so much? For his mercies are new every morning, he tells us through Jeremiah and Lamentations 3. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Nothing, nothing compares. So let's be honest. Every one of us has a hunger for something. A hunger we try to fill with food, houses, spouses, careers, possessions, sex, or something else. All these are realities. This hunger is one of the reasons we come to church. We have a hunger that only God can satisfy, and it can only be satisfied by regular time with the Lord in His presence, in worship, reading His Word, letting Him speak to us, in prayer, communicating with Him, and in the fellowship of believers. Truth is, those who only go to church on special occasions, or who refuse to go because they don't like the music or the pastor or the preaching or something else, they won't have their hunger satisfied completely. But without reservation, for them and for us, God is always ready to feed the need, to fill us to overflowing when we come to Him. Today, our Lord is speaking to all of us, and He says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine, milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live." This is our God, and His compassion is overflowing. Even in our sin, even in us seeking to satisfy that desire, that innate need we have elsewhere, He invites us, He feeds us, He forgives us through faith in Jesus. Overflowing compassion, it's the best. Amen.